John chapter 6. Thank you for letting our family go to Caleb's dedication service this morning. I appreciate you allowing us to do that, and I appreciate the pastor over there doing that the first thing so we can come. Now I'll try to catch my breath and get settled and try to preach a sermon. Sometimes God asks us or commands us to do or to go through hard things. The death of a loved one is a hard thing. The physical suffering, pain, or disease, that's a hard thing to go through for yourself or to watch a loved one go through that. Troubles in a marriage or problems with children are hard things. Financial problems. Sometimes we can certainly relate to financial difficulties, loss of job, or not having a job and trying to find a job. I mean, the list could just go on and on and on of hard things. Life sometimes is just hard. And then, of course, there are the things that are hard that are exclusively Christian. Sometimes it's hard to witness to people, tell people about Jesus. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Enduring persecution, whatever form it takes, enduring persecution is a hard thing. Sometimes just obeying the Word of God, just obeying God sometimes is a hard thing. That brings me to John chapter 6. I'm going to start reading in verse 53 and read quite a few verses in John chapter 6, starting in 53. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. The first thing I want us to notice out of this passage this morning is the command that Jesus gave. Look at verse 53 again. And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Jesus was teaching his disciples, not just the 12, but a large group of the Bible calls them disciples. And he had been teaching them about the bread of life, that he was the bread of life. And then he came to this command that they were to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Now you can imagine when Jesus said that, what they might have been thinking. They didn't understand him, but to take him at face value, to eat his flesh and drink his blood was something they didn't want to think about. We find their response in verse 60 when they said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? So, boy, who can do that? We can understand. Surely he's not saying what we think he's saying. This is hard. That's a hard thing. And they didn't think that they could do that. They didn't understand him. That made it difficult, made it hard. Sometimes, maybe a lot of the times, we don't understand. We know what God wants us to do, or we know what we're having to face and what we're having to go through, but we just don't understand why. Why does God want me to do that? Or why do I have to be the one, right? Have you thought that before? Why do I have to be the one to go through this? Sometimes we do know. We know what God wants and we understand why He wants it, but it's just a hard thing to do. And we're thinking in our same thing in our mind, well, why me, God? Why do I have to teach that class? Why do I have to pray that prayer? Why do I have to be the one to witness to old so-and-so? You know, his family's Christian. Why can't they do it? Why do I have to be the one who's faithful to attend church? Why can't somebody else be faithful? Maybe it's something more difficult even than those things. Well, Lord, why did you call me to be a missionary? Or why did you call me to be a pastor? Why not somebody else? It's a hard thing, Lord. I guess the question is, what do we do when we face a hard thing? I want you to understand something. Life is difficult whether you're a Christian or not. You know, so I get the idea sometimes, or I'm afraid that we portray the idea that the Christian life is hard. Oh, it's so much harder to be a Christian than it is to be a sinner. I want you to know that's not the truth. Think about your life as a Christian when you do have hard things in your life. How in the world do you survive the difficulties of life without Jesus Christ as your Savior? And the answer is, a lot of people don't. That's why there's suicide. That's why there's all kinds of addiction. That's why there's divorce. That's why there's crime and difficulties and problems. That's why the prisons are full. That's why mental hospitals are full. Because people can't handle the hard things of life without Jesus Christ. So what do you do? Well, we have an answer in this passage. First of all, we see their choice. John chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Many of them chose, when they heard this hard saying, many of them chose to turn away from Jesus. They chose to leave. I want to kind of pause on verse 66 and verse 67 for just a minute. Some have argued that the people who left, says many of his disciples, but they've argued that the disciples who left were not really believers. It's true. Listen, not everybody who followed Jesus, not everybody who walked along with him, not everybody who came out to listen to him speak, not everybody who saw his miracles, not even everybody who experienced his miracles in some form were believers. That's the truth. Some of these folks in this group in Capernaum that day, some of them were just there for curiosity. Some of them were there maybe hoping they would see a miracle or benefit from a miracle. You know, he'd fed others, maybe he'll feed me. He had healed others, maybe he'll heal me. He's done something miraculous in another place. Maybe I'll go and I'll get to see one. Not all of them, I know, not all of them were believers, but some of them were. And whether they were believers or not doesn't make a whole lot of difference in this case, because they chose to leave. They heard a hard saying. They were faced with a hard command and they left. Others have suggested that these people who left had no choice. That God had not called them to Jesus, had not drawn them to Jesus, that God had not called them to salvation. And so they really didn't have any, they couldn't believe if they wanted to, they had no choice. Those who believe that cite verse 65 as proof. Verse 65, and he said, Jesus said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. That is a difficult verse. I agree with him on that. And it is true. You cannot be saved unless the Holy Spirit draws you to Jesus. Amen. That's why it's so important when the Holy Spirit draws you that you say yes. He's not obligated. I guess technically God has obligated himself to do that once. Anything more than that is just the great grace and mercy of God. It's also true that we can't live the Christian life without God helping us to do that. But God does enable those who choose Him to follow Him, to be faithful to Him, to obey Him. And God does desire that all people be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." In John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." At some time or another, some way or another, God draws people to Jesus, to salvation. I know that because Jesus was crucified. To be lifted up was to be nailed to a cross. That phrase means to be nailed to a cross, to be crucified, to be lifted up from off of the earth on a cross. Jesus was lifted up from the earth. He was crucified. God is always true to His word. So I know that God does draw, sometime God draws all people to Jesus because He said, "If I'm crucified, I will draw all men unto me." So they had a choice. The people who left had a choice. They simply chose, because it was a difficult thing, they chose to leave Jesus. Then I want you to notice the last part of verse 66. The Bible says they walked no more with Him. It seems like this was a permanent choice. It was hard. It was a hard thing. Maybe it was too hard in their minds to do that. So they decided, listen, I'm not going to follow Jesus anymore, and I'm never going back. If that's what I have to do, if I have to eat His flesh and drink His blood, that's it for me. I'm done. I'm never going back. No more did they follow Him. And then I want you to notice verse 67. "Then after many of His disciples chose to leave, then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" I have to tell you, well, I don't have to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. This is the verse that drew me to this passage of Scripture. I guess it was about a week ago, Saturday night, I went to bed and I couldn't sleep. I always go to bed about 10 o'clock. I went to bed about 10 o'clock that Saturday night, and it was after midnight before I finally went to sleep. And I tossed and I turned, and I, you know what you do, you fret and you worry. You know, your mind kicks into gear and you're trying to slip it up into neutral and it just won't go. And finally, I was thinking about some of the things that were happening in my life. I was thinking about some of the things that were happening in the church. And I came to this verse came to my mind. Will ye also go away? Can't you hear the sorrow in those words? When we think of Jesus as being positive and uplifting and happy and joyful and always at peace and all these things. And because, I mean, after all, He is God. In verse 67 of John chapter 6, we see Jesus in His humanity and He is heartbroken. Many of His disciples went back and it broke the heart of Jesus. Can't you relate to that just a little bit? I'm going to tell you that one of the reasons why that Saturday night I couldn't sleep is because I was brokenhearted. When somebody leaves our fellowship, doesn't matter the reason, it breaks the heart of the pastor. If he's worth anything at all, it breaks his heart. When someone leaves the fellowship, it breaks the heart of the other people in the fellowship. When someone turns away from Jesus, still, when God by the Holy Spirit draws someone to Him and they reject Him, or when one who has chosen to follow Him decides that it's too hard and they turn and they leave, it still breaks the heart of Jesus. That brings me to the choice. In answer to Jesus' question, Simon Peter answered Jesus' question in verse 68 and 69. Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." I know when it comes to choice, we are taught today, or we're being taught today, that, you know, there's no right choice, there's no wrong choice. There may be a better choice, there may be a preferred choice, but there's no right or wrong choice. Whatever you decide to do is right for you. I want you to know that is incorrect. That is not right. Amen. The first choice, the choice of the many to turn and walk away and leave Jesus, was the wrong choice. It's still the wrong choice. All of those that day in Capernaum who turned and permanently walked away from Jesus are now burning in the fires of hell for eternity because they made the wrong choice. The choice that Simon Peter made and the other 11, the choice that they made to stay with Jesus, to follow Jesus, was the right choice, and it's still the right choice. There is a right choice. There is a wrong choice. Jesus is the right choice. Always has been, always will be. Peter said, "Listen, where else are we going to go? Who else can we turn to? You have the words of eternal life." I want you to listen to Acts chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 12. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus saves." John chapter 14, verse 6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Only Jesus saves." Now, I say that, and I can almost anticipate in some circles how people will respond to that, and they'll say, "Well, now, Pastor, that's narrow-minded. Pastor, that is politically incorrect." Now, you can't say that. For somebody else to for you to choose Jesus is fine. For somebody else to choose some other way is fine. No, it's not. I want you to think about it this way. We know that heaven exists because the Bible tells us. Heaven is not the creation of man. It's not in the invention of man. It's not the imagination of man. It's not the decision of man. We know, mankind knows about heaven from the Bible. That's where the message of heaven began. It began with the Word of God. So if heaven is real, then Jesus is the only way to get there. Because the same book that told us about heaven tells us Jesus is the only way. There is salvation in no other name. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Only Jesus saves. You can't have it both ways. If you believe what the Bible says about heaven, and who doesn't believe in heaven? Everybody wants to go to heaven. If you believe what the Bible says about heaven, then you have to believe what the Bible says about Jesus. And you have to believe that Jesus is the only one who can save and get us to heaven. That's just logical, see? They want to argue that Christianity is not logical, but it is very logical. Some people want to pick and choose what they can believe and what they can't believe, but listen, either the Bible is the truth or it's not. All of it or none of it. Yet that's kind of the way it goes. I heard a man say one time, "Listen, either Jesus Christ is really the Son of God or he is a bold-faced liar." And I want to tell you, when he said that, it offended me for just a minute. And then he said, It has to be that way because Jesus said, "I'm the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "I'm the Messiah." Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Either that's the truth or Jesus is a liar. So, the question is, have you confessed your sins and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Only Jesus saves. You can try other ways, you can try other things, but you're going to come to the conclusion eventually, it may be too late, but you're going to come to the conclusion eventually that Peter did, where else can we go? Would you stand with me this morning?